We're going to continue our Christmas at the Movies message series, and today we're looking at our third message in this month. And the movie we're looking at, if you haven't already guessed, is A Christmas Carol. In the Advent candle, we focused on the fact of love. We're to love each other, and we're to love people in the name of the Lord. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just pray that as we've come together this morning, and what matters to you is that we are here to worship you, and you are pleased by that. You are honored by that, and you will honor us one day for that as we focus on you and lift you up. May it touch our hearts today. May our hearts be touched by you. May you bring that greater sense of inner joy in our hearts in the midst of our lives, in the midst of today. And I pray that as we walk away from the message today, from the service today, that you would just allow us, Father, to feel your loving arms around us, girding us up to be the people that you called us to be in the world that we live in, that you might be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If we look at the movie series of messages today, we see a lot of times in movies where the rich will hold lavish parties and the poor will do all that they can to give a meaningful gift to somebody. We've seen that before where it's a privilege where someone has the money and can give a lot, they're going to give and give a lavish party. But I love the poor who go out of their way to give something from their heart. And that's why, even though it's a secular song, The Drummer Boy, I always liked that because he didn't have anything material to give, but he could give a song of praise to God. And that's the heart that I love, that genuineness of heart that lifts up to God and wants to honor him. A Christmas Carol, you know, we've seen that. It's a long-lasting classic film. I don't know why it's named A Christmas Carol as much as I just call it Scrooge, you know, and that's, I relate to that much easier than I do the title of The Christmas Carol. But in the movie The Christmas Carol, we find that the miserly, old, cranky, selfish, greedy man of Scrooge, how his life was touched and changed to care about people, whereas he did not before. When we look to God, when we rely on God, when we are right with God, then our hearts are hearts that care about one another and other people. That's the character of Christ. And God wants that character to be manifested in and through our lives a little bit more. In your insert in your bulletin, it says, unfortunately, poverty is often ignored or paid very little attention to in many churches. The movie shows a characteristic of caring for the poor at the end that many churches forget to do. In fact, we've heard it many a time. The church is not a social bank where people can just go to as a recourse. But I challenge that a little bit. I ask the question of what does God want us to do to care for the poor when God introduces poor, needy people to us as a church? What discernment do we use? How do we analyze that? And I think the thing that's important is that so long as we know that God is giving us an opportunity, that we discern what God wants us to do in that opportunity to help meet the needs of others. And so again, in your fill-in, that unfortunately poverty is often ignored or paid very little attention to in many churches. So when you read the book of A Christmas Carol and the movie Ebenezer Scrooge, we know what type of person he is. As a church and as Christians, we don't want to be that way, do we? We want people to know that we care about them. We want people to know the church cares about them and their circumstances and to intervene for them. And that's not always an easy thing for us to do. But as God gives, look, if we see God giving us an opportunity, it's usually an invitation of God for us to do something. And we need to think just about that, just about that. And so we're going to look at a little mini clip here, 2.5 minutes, of one version version of A Christmas Carol.
At this festive time of the year, it is surely desirable that we make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Don't you agree?
I take it that you gentlemen are new to the district.
New and eager, sir. You would agree, I'm sure, that many thousands of people lack the basic necessities, and many hundreds of thousands lack ordinary comforts.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons, sir.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
Yes, they are. I really wish I could say they were not. A few of us are endeavouring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. How much?
Maybe put you down for Mrs. Good. Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I support those institutions I have mentioned, and I expect the poor to make use of them. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many cannot go there, and many would rather die.
They'd rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Mr. Cratchit, would you show these gentlemen out?
You know, the more that we care and intercede for others, the more our hearts will be tender for people. The less we care, the more we have a deaf ear towards people, the harder our hearts will become. I don't know if you noticed in the news recently. Remember, every year, I don't know how many years it's been. You know the guy that's rich, that's anonymous, that sets up a treasure in a park, and people are, a thousand people go to a certain park and they start looking for this hidden treasure of money during Christmas time. Have any of you heard about that? Well, you should come to the park with me. It's great. No. But really, this guy has been doing this every year. And this year he went to Phoenix, Arizona. And what he did was really interesting to me. Instead of placing this treasure in a park for people to search out and find, what he did was he sought out homeless people. And he enlisted two homeless men. And he gave at least one of them, I know, I don't know if it was both of them, but at least one of them on the news said he gave $4,000 to the one homeless guy. And first of all, I'm thinking to myself initially, how do you know this guy is going to do what you want him to do with that $4,000 and just not go out and do what he wants? How do you know? And we start analyzing. Are they going to buy drugs? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do whatever? You know, and you start undercutting it. But he had this $4,000. He gives it to this one homeless guy. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to go on the street with your sign and ask for money. And everybody that comes and gives you money, I want you to give them back $100. And he did that. And this one particular man had seven kids. And he was trying to figure out, how am I going to buy Christmas presents for my kids? And when the guy gave him $100, the father of these seven kids was holding back tears. He goes, I've been trying to figure this out. Thank you so much. You don't know what that means to me. Now, the point of this is that this is real. This is a real person. They interviewed him on the TV and kept his face so you couldn't see him. And he's a rich man. He has money to blow. And he's chosen to take the money that he has and use it to bless other people. The homeless man that gave out the money, at the end, what he said, he goes, I had far more blessings, so much fun, so much joy, and giving out those $100 to those people and seeing the expression on their faces and the tenderness of their hearts in response than I did getting any money back, because the guy gave him a good lump sum of money at the end that he could. He says it was life-changing for me. It changed my perspective. It's given me a new start. And so when I see this character of Scrooge, I think miserly holding on to every bit he has because that's the security and supposed joy, doesn't look like a very happy man to me. But when we give in love, when we are tender to people and their needs, and we are led of the Spirit to respond in a certain way, and we do, God is glorified and our hearts are blessed. And so I think that just a real example of what giving and caring for people can do for our hearts. And so not to be caring, not to be giving, not to be open, not to be considerate of others that are in need is the opposite of the way that we as human beings should be. But it's definitely the opposite of what you and I should be as Christians. I have fallen into the trap many times, and I'm sure I will in the future, and the only way out of it is to really pray, is to be judgmental and to be asking myself, how responsible am I with this situation? And the biggest one that gets my beef is feeling like I'm being used. Being used by people that say they need something. I have no verification they really need it. And so I have found myself wrestle with that. But what I know that God wants me to do is to have a more tender heart toward people because God is the judge. God does the judging. And if God gives opportunity, he's inviting us to be involved in that situation. And what we do is we pray and we say, God, how do you want me to respond to this? In what way would you have me to contribute or to intervene on the behalf of those that you've brought to my attention? And I think that keeps us in the safe zone. We give it to God and we trust God to be the judge and we respond as God leads us to. Not necessarily how we've been asked, but how God leads, and be faithful to that. And so God, when we sent his son, obviously getting back to the message of the incarnation, because of love. And the key example is his love for us. God gave his son knowing that that newborn babe was going to die for us, that we can have a relationship with God that's eternal. God is setting the example. What did he tell us in the scripture? He says, if we do anything without love, it's in vain. It's empty. It's worthless. If we do all these magnificent things in the name of Christ without a heart of love, it's of no value to God. In fact, it goes through the furnace of judgment, as we see in Corinthians, where the good works that we think we've done, if they've been done without love and a right heart, they're burned up. They don't come out of the end of the judgment furnace of God. But the things that come out, the things that remain true and solid in love with a right heart with God are rewarded by God and is used to bring glory to him. You get what I'm saying? And so when we're doing what God wants us to do, and we're responding to the opportunities he gives us as he leads us to respond, and we do it with a right heart, it's going to glorify him and God will reward it. But you know what? The greatest reward is the joy of being caring and loving and helping others and knowing God blessing that. There's a joy in doing that if it's done with the right heart. And so, as we looked at the incarnation over the last few weeks, we see the primary example of love. To think that God would say, okay, now in our mind we're thinking, God the Father is sending his son. And you think about a newborn from the Father being given, knowing it's going to be a sacrifice being made for all people. But we've got to back up and think this way. This is God himself who made himself flesh out of love for us to die for us. And so we celebrate that birth because not only does he save us, and not only does it provide a way of a relationship with him, but one day in the future, we're going to see him in all his glory, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to be honored with him. And we're going to look back and go, wow, our faith is going to be that much more complete. We're going to see all the things that we've done here in faith and living for God, following God, seeking Him out, being the people He wants us to be, the best that we can in and through Him, we're going to see it in such a broader picture in the future that we're going to be astonished at the work that God has done in and through all of His people. Mary had sung a song because she was astonished at what God was doing through her. And we know that Mary sang a song of praise to God when she met up with her cousin Elizabeth. And this song is called the Magnificent. Some know it as the Magnificent. And it's another aspect, another way of looking at the Incarnation. So God displayed His deep care not merely for lost souls that needed salvation, but for the physical and material conditions of humanity. We need to think about that for a moment. God didn't just care about our spiritual, but He cares about our physical and material conditions. Let's look at what Mary sang. Remember, Mary's about 16 years old. Look what she sang to God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Mary, a young, sweet woman who loves God, had a great depth of maturity in her perspective about what God was doing in her life. And so, if we were to look at 3 points here in verses 51 through 53, she said, "He," and every time we see "He," it's in reference to God, "He has scattered the proud, He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and He has sent the rich away empty." God knows the injustices that take place. You think about Scrooge. Scrooge was about to find out that there was something going to happen in his life that was going to change the way he perceived things. Throughout history, men have logically analyzed the fact that the rich are well taken care of and the poor are always hungry. But Mary sings of a God who is not bound by what men think or do. He turns human attitudes and orders of society upside down. That's what I love about God. He doesn't go with the flow. He does what's right. And it can turn the world upside down. And that was Mary sings of a God who is not bound by what men think or do. He turns human attitudes and orders of society upside down, unquote, is from Leon Morris, the Gospel According to Luke. So Mary's song focuses on the Incarnation as God coming to right the wrongs and to bring down the wealthy and the powerful. Now, having said that, being rich and or powerful, right, is not bad, but using riches and power selfishly is. Being rich is not bad, being powerful is not bad, but using our riches and our power for selfishness is. And that's what God is dealing with. Mary saying, I recognize the Father. He worked through me as a lowly, that means poor, unrecognized, insignificant, seemingly so, woman, young woman, 16 years old, to give birth to the Messiah. Praise God for that. God cares about me. When I was out there when we were doing the living activity, and I was telling the kids, if you were sitting on the mountain out there at the letter C in the middle of the night, not that I would encourage them to do that without their family, but if they were out there, and all of a sudden a part of the sky opened up, and an angel came out and said, "Today the Son of David," right, "had been born," paraphrasing that, and then all of a sudden opened up wider, and the angels were singing praises to God, And would you be excited about that? I explained to them that God came and revealed this truth to the lowliest of people, the most disregarded of people in society that day, and those were the shepherds. God demonstrates his love for the poor as well as the rich, for all people. And we have the incarnation of God that's going to provide, again, salvation, eternal life, a relationship with him, and the wonders of the future that God has for us yet to come. And so we might think that Mary sang this song because she was poor, but I want us to look at Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I thought about Noah when I read that verse. Noah found favor with God, found grace with God. And that's what the word favor here in the Greek mean, is the word charis, and it means grace. And Mary acted in a manner of graciousness. She acted in grace. She was a graceful woman. She honored God. In her youthfulness, she saw the mercy, the goodness, the love, the kindness, the power of God working through her and honoring her with such a privilege. And she lifted up God and praised his name for that. She was influenced by the Holy Spirit when she sang this song. It was a prophetic picture too. It was a declaration that God cares about the poor. And God does not like injustice. So Mary was inspired by God to sing these words. They were not due to her personal circumstances. In other words, God wants us to know that he sees social injustice in the world, and better take care of them one way or another. Let's step back from that for just a moment. You ever have days where you're looking at the political world or the world that we live in, and you, in a sense, in your emotions, you want to throw up your hands and go, "What a mess." But then in your spirit, you know that God says, "I'm going to take care of it." God's going to make it all right one day. We know that as a reality. We know that as a truth in God's word. And so God cares about the injustices that takes place. And he cares about the poor. And he cares about people that are being abused. And he cares about people that are harmed by others. And this principle of caring for people that are poor is a principle that was primary to God. And it should be something that should be primary to people in general, but especially to Christians. Going back to what I said earlier, there's so much analyzing of judgment of people and their circumstance that we forget to love in spite of that. God loves in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the attitude, in spite of the wrong choices, in spite of them digging their own pit or making their own bed, so to speak. God loves. And God has called us to love. There are some of you in this room that are far more free and gracious and caring for and reaching out to people than I know I am. And I've watched your testimony of your generosity with people and your kindness. And I'm thinking, that's a gift. I wish I was more tender-hearted and compassionate toward reaching out to people in that manner. And then I kind of analyze and I go, well, that's just what they've been graced with and their character and their walk with God. And yet I'm reminded today in the message that that's not a gift in of itself alone, but it's a character of God to care for people and to love people. And so we're to remember that principle. He wants us to care. Just watch this clip for just a minute, this next clip.
"I am the stage of Christmas present. Look upon me. You have never seen what I have been before, have you?"
"Never. And I wish the pleasure had been indefinitely postponed."
"So?
Is your heart still unmoved towards us then?"
"I'm too old and beyond hope. Go and redeem some younger, more promising creature. Leave me to keep Christmas in my own way."
"Mortal. We spend a Christmas to our kid only one day in our year. We live the whole 365. So is it true of the child born in Bethlehem? He does not live in men's hearts only one day of the year, but all the days of the year.
You have chosen not to seek him in your heart.
Therefore you shall come with me and seek him in the hearts of men of goodwill. touch my robe.
Did you catch what that, let's say, Santa said? It's not the time to be good just at Christmas, paraphrasing what he said, but all the time of the year. Christmas, it's Christ, his character, his love, should be manifested throughout the year. And we know that, during Christmas time, there's a lot more or greater emphasis on ministries and reaching out and caring for people because it's Christmas time. But the reality is that should be something that's prominent in our lives and in our church year round. We know that there are times like the shoeboxes ministry through Samaritan's Purse, that it's the time of year to do it. It's an opportunity that God's presented. Or there's the angel Christmas tree. You know, with gifts on the Christmas tree for pick one out and pray for that person, give them a gift. Pick that angel off the tree. Or toys for tots. Or what about the homeless and care packages? One of the things we have so much left over from when we went out to minister to the homeless out there, that really what I really truly want to do, I want to bag up blankets, socks, hygiene material that we have back there, whatever we have, into individual bags. And I want us to be able to consider putting one in our trunk. When you're in Fresno, if I sell you and someone on the street, that we're saying, hey, I'll give you this. If we want to give them more, we can. But it's cold and wet. And so it's an opportunity for us to do that. And in January, we'll be looking at that as another opportunity. But the point here is that the opportunity should not be secluded to a certain time of the year. The opportunity should always be in front of us throughout the year. And as we give, and as we serve, and as we're involved in caring about people in that manner, our hearts are going to grow larger and softer for people and closer to God when we do that with the right heart. Not as an act of works or ego or pride, but out of humility and sincerity and love for others in the name of Christ. It'll change our hearts to be that much more excited and blessed to reach out to those that are in need. Like the guy that said, I got more blessings giving those $100 bills out than getting the money myself. And that's something that we need to remember. We're to help people all year long. We're to share God's love always. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? Good works, which God, what? Prepared beforehand, that what? We should walk in them. If there's ever a verse that substantiates what's being said in this message about being involved year-round and doing good works and caring for people and reaching out to people, that's the one. Because God already has prepared us, shaped us, is making us, and he wants to use us as instruments to do good works for others, which he prepared beforehand, which means before the foundations of the world, that we should walk in them. In other words, that we should practice doing those good works. Our Advent candle today reminded us that God sent his Son to demonstrate his love to us. We see that love in, even in this little picture of the baby in the manger, and he's alive and moving around. And we see that love in the reflection of Christmas and the birth of Christ, our Savior. We see that love in the fact that we know we're saved. We see that love in the relationship that we have with Christ, that grows in Christ as we follow him. We see that love in the promises of the future that are yet before us. And God wants us to demonstrate that love toward other people. If we're known as God's people, then we also are to be known as God's people who loves people. It's one thing to have the name, I'm a Christian. It's one thing to have the earmarks of, let's say, going to church or whatever. But if we don't have love, it's in vain. And so love needs to be spread out. Because God gave his love to the world, and we as his children are to share that love with others. That's a challenge to me. In all honesty, that's a challenge to me. But I hope it's a challenge to each one of you as well, to remember to share the love of God and demonstrate that love as we care for people. Scrooge's business partner, Jacob Marley, we know the story. He came and visited him. He came with chains and shackles, and we know that's not biblical. But he came with the chains and shackles as a representation of the weight and the burden of sin that he had to live with for the rest of his life. And he came to help Scrooge understand that your perspective is wrong. Your perspective is selfish. Your perspective is that your security is in your money and your resources, and that people don't matter. What matters is you. All of this is a wrong perspective. In fact, his business partner, Jacob Marley, had said in the movie, quote, "Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business," unquote. That doesn't mean that he did that. He's saying that should have been my business. That should have been my focus, is to care about the welfare of others, to show charity or love and mercy, forbearance, and benevolence. That should be our business. And so Scrooge didn't have that perspective at all. Not whatsoever. And his partner didn't want him to have those regrets. Let's put it in real terms. If we die without Christ, you're going to have a regret, because there's no other opportunity to receive Christ. When we die and go to the presence of God as believers, and we've not been loving and caring about for people in the name of Christ, I think we're going to have our regrets. Let's put it another way. Our perspective of what God is, who God is, what he has done, and what he is doing, we can't grab. We can't perceive it. We're in our own little world and environment and circumstances in life right here and now. But when we're with him, it's going to be boom, the puzzle is put together. All the pieces are in place. I see the whole picture, and I would think that you and I would say, man, if I would have seen that, I would have done more, or I wish I would have done more in the name of Christ. Because look how wonderful the work is that God has done. We will have regrets. But our safeguard to minimizing those regrets are loving God first and loving people. And again, Solomon wrote, anything done without love is in vain. We must do everything in love. Love for God and love for people. Good works like feeding the poor don't take away our sins or allow us to have a peaceful eternity, but they do honor God and demonstrate his love to the watching world. We know, you know, I know that the world that doesn't know Christ is watching Christians. But if they see that we love God and love people and walk in the ways of God's word, that's a bold, cutting testimony of the light of Christ in a world of darkness. Proverbs 14:21 says, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." Again, the guy said, "I had more fun, more joy in giving those $100 bills than getting any money for myself." Who of you have given to people selflessly, maybe anonymously? In any case, as God led you to with the right heart, out of love, that you were not blessed by that. That's what God's saying here. He's saying that we will be happy if we don't despise our neighbor, and if we do, show mercy to the poor. And in 1 John 3:17 and 18, it says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" How can you call yourself a Christian if you don't care about people? My little children, let us not love in word and tongue. It's easy to profess love. It's easy to profess faith and Christianity and all these things. Profession is easy, but deed and faith is a different thing. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then again in Isaiah 58, the prophet Isaiah wrote in verses 10 and 11, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will give you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. God will bless each and every single one of us if we love and care for others by action and deed with a right heart that glorifies God. We will be blessed for doing that. True worshipers of God need to minister to the physically and spiritually hungry. And failing to care about others' needs is what? A sin of omission. I've had times where I've had opportunities to be kind and loving and to reach out, but I was either afraid or lazy or inconvenienced. And I turned my back and I've regretted it. And I have to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit when he prompts my heart to do acts of love and goodness and kindness to others. So there are things that we've done, and there are things that we haven't done that we know we should have. And God gives us to show his love by caring for others and their needs. So Scrooge's eyes were open, right? We know that at the end of the story. We know that even though it's not a biblical truth, but we have Christmas past, present, and future was shown to him, and it broke his stubborn, selfish character and brought him to be a man who cared about others. Let's look at this last scene of A Christmas Carol.
Full heart with an endless joy, with a growing family, every girl and boy will be near you and these two men.
Share the wealth.
Truly, it's true what scriptures say. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? So we give with that heart. Look how happy he was. And it's always a blessing to give rather to receive. So be thankful. Reflect on what God has done for each one of us and share the love of God with others that they might come to know him or grow in their faith in him. Let's go to the Lord. Father, there's a somberness. What I'm praying for, Father, is that we walk away today, that I walk away today with a focus that is clear, and a focus that is more open and willing or sensitive and aware of other people and their needs, whether it be people on the street or people in our lives, our neighbors, whomever, because we have an opportunity to reflect your love. And it's a joyful thing to share your love and acts and good deeds that you created us for. Help us, Father, to wrap our hearts and our minds and our souls around that biblical principle, that we might shine brighter in a world that so desperately needs to know you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.